Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and on this fabulous Monday afternoon, I get a chance to talk to quilters. This is the best job ever. And sometimes I get to have an extra special guest, somebody that I've admired for a long time, and Renee Nanaman of Needle Love. And if you love applique, love texture, I'm sure that you've discovered the Needle Love books. They've been out there for a very long time, and Renee is the force behind the book. She is the creative person, plus she's also a fabric designer and, you know, does numerous other things with designing of rugs and all kinds of stuff. So I am so excited to have Renee on the show. We're going to find out all about what she does. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hello, Pat. How are you this beautiful fall afternoon?
I am so excited. I am just great. You know, your books are just so gorgeous.
Thank you very much. We put a lot of love and energy into the projects in the books, the photography, the attention to detail. Thank you for noticing.
Oh, my gosh. I think I own all of them, Renee.
Well, I've been publishing them quite a few years, for sure. That's the first quilting book I did. Was a threads book, and it was in 1995, so that's 17 years ago.
Oh my gosh, 17 years of just fabulous, fabulous quilts and projects. You know what I love, Renee, about your books is that you don't have just quilts. You also have small projects. You intermix textures. How did you get inspired to start these books, like the thread series, for example, where you have multiple designers?
That's the idea behind the books, to have a lot of different projects from quite a few different talented women. And I actually met some of the early designers at a local quilt shop. They were designing for class projects. And I saw such talent from these stay-at-home moms and grandmothers, and asked them if we could try to pull together a book with, you know, a design from each of them. Meaning a particular theme, and we started with a winter, like, woodland theme, which led for snowmen and reindeer and trees. And the first book was so successful in the quilt industry because those projects were accomplishable in an evening or two evenings. And actually, I didn't add a quilt until the third threads book came along. I thought I better be legitimate in the quilt industry and add a true quilt, not just a smaller wall hanging. So you're right. It's just a mix of designs that make them very strong.
And, you know, Renee, when you're doing a book, you know, what I really love is that it has that theme. Like, your most current book is called Garden Threads. And Garden Gate Threads.
Correct.
And when you pick a theme, do each of the people who make a piece, do you all get to meet together? You know, how does the design process work for that?
Because the designers live around the country, most of them live in the Kansas City, Missouri area where I had lived for so long. We would not actually meet together, but I would come up with a theme based on just a name that sounds really good for a book title, or one person's project might launch the whole book. It might be the project that has the mood, like it might be something with pumpkins, so that might start a pumpkin patch theme. Mm. Or it might be an Easter egg a mat for your table centerpiece, and that would have launched an Easter threads. So basically, I put out what the theme is going to be to all the girls, and we just see what comes in. And yes, they like guidance on color, so sometimes I do send them swatches of wool, swatches of fabric, you know, various threads, and that helps give them some creative ideas and some motivation on what project they're going to do.
Aha. You know, I think that that's really the key, is that your eye, Renee, for pulling together the concept
One of the designers, Lynn Hosford, once gave me the greatest compliment. She said, "We're the threads and you're the weaver. Mm. And you're the one who decides, you know, what really does look to get good together." Because often we're mixing different styles, a style you might call primitive, a style you might call traditional. And mm-hmm. it's just how the pieces are photographed, actually, that helps bring out their personality. And the photography also helps tie all the projects together and make them feel like, yes, I would like to make three or four projects for my home. I can see how they would work together, even though they might not just be the same style.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And of course, Lynn, that's a great, great analogy from Lynn about how you weave it together. The photography, though, you're right. You put a lot of extra time into styling. You know, you just don't have one project with nothing around it. You know, yours are all like you have multiple projects in the picture and you can see how they work together. Do you do the photography and the styling?
I hire a photographer to be what they call the shooter, and he mm-hmm. determines the lighting, which is very important in quality photography. But as far as the styling goes, yes, I do. And mm-hmm. I've had other friends help me with it. We might go out shopping for 2 days looking for just the right table, candles, a whole list of things that we need. Fresh pumpkins, fresh flowers, whatever the mood, whatever the season is. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for antiques also that don't take away from the needlework project. For instance, we in a pumpkin patch threads book last year, we had a really cute little acorn and log cabin quilt. It's a little table topper. So I had a very small lantern that had a candle with a glow. We had a little statue of a little squirrel and a bowl of acorns and some bittersweet vines and all those things that we love that bring something to life in our own home, I use to bring to life in the photographs.
Ah.
So yes, you're right. Lots of energy goes into the photography.
I know. And just, you know, and you can really tell because when I look at the book, you've, you know, the seasonal things, you've got like this garden gate one, you know, there is a garden gate, which I love, you know, and it's like interspersed through all the different projects. Tell me, you know, a little bit about the concept behind the most recent one, Garden Gate Threads. And is this also using one of your fabric lines, Renee?
Actually, there are several fabric lines in it. One was Rosebud Fair, very soft pinks and reds and light khaki colors. And another, there's a small bow tie quilt in the book, and it is soft robin's egg blues and pinks and tans and creams and reds and soft browns. And that is from my group called Bella Bliss, two of my favorite words. Bella meaning good, and bliss is the ultimate state of happiness. And that's part of the mood that ties through the Garden Gate book, is blissful garden happiness with butterflies and rabbits and bee skeps and flowers. And
right,
so
lots
for
of
this book, I rented a gorgeous cottage-style home in Kansas City from an acquaintance of mine, and we did all the shooting in one day in her garden. And it was the perfect setting, like you saw with the gate, and subtle suggestions of an herb garden in one of the shots, and an old iron bed set up on her patio with antique black screen doors and a candle chandelier hanging above the bed. We took everything we needed to make that bed come alive as an outdoor bedroom. So it just... it sets the mood, and it hopefully inspires the quilter or the woman who loves to do handwork to, you know, to want to try some of these projects.
I know it does for me, Renee. I mean, I think it's one of the big things about your photography and layout of the projects is that I can envision them in my home, too. Even though my home may not look as gorgeous as this one, I can only hope. That's
the possibility, yes. If you create the project, that's the first thing. And then the book gives you suggestions, you know, in the photography of what you need to pull together to bring that mood out in your own home.
Yay, that's a good thing. What's your most current fabric line right now with Andover?
Ah, Chateau Chambray. It is Pinks and Blues. It's taken from an antique, late 1800s French coverlet, and a lot of rose bouquets. And so I had been noticing how much chambray clothing is coming back into the, mm-hmm. Some of the catalogs we looked for, a new blouse. And so chambray blue and red seem to be the two colors to use. And always I like a nice neutral, like a linen palette.
Right.
So there are three colorways in that new group. And I'm hopefully going to start seeing it in some of the local quilt shops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Your fabrics are amazing. They have such beautiful, soft colors and coordinate with everything. I just love them. Love them.
Thank you. Thank you. There's lots more coming down the line. I have a group called The Linen Closet. Beautiful neutrals, little small prints that could work into any quilt, any color palette you're working with. Mm. And another group called Village Wear Toile, which mm-hmm. is like line art of little flowers, tone on tones. One color palette is black on tan or light, every light neutral you can imagine. And a brown colorway and then reds. Gotta have reds.
And you also do some seasonal lines. You have some with pumpkins and fall colors, right?
I do. For those who love, the real rich, strong, saturated fall colors, I have a group called Candy Corn. Mm-hmm. And in Candy Corn, yes, there are oranges and there are reds and fun old-looking purples and old yellows. And I even have a group called All Hallows Eve for Halloween this year. And it's vintage 1930s. Costume fabric that we've reproduced with other companion prints. And
wow.
I like to name some of my prints when they do have a lot of personality. And there's one print that's polka dots and that seem to float, and they're called Cauldron Bubbles. And we have a fun little stripe that wiggles, and it's called Cat Scratch Stripe.
Renee, I want to give your website. Because this has been absolutely wonderful to have you on the show and tell us about your stuff. Your website's needlelove.com, and it's needlelove.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Take care.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now I am delighted to talk to Natalia Bonners. Natalia is, company name is peaceandquilt.com, and I love Natalia's work. She is a new author, and her book is on free motion quilting for your home machine to get professional quality results. I just love the way that she has done her book. And so I asked her to come on here and talk to us about that and her own quilting, and, you know, just what goes on with Natalia. So hi, Natalia, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Pat.
Hey, it's good to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be here.
Ah, well, you know, tell me a little bit, Natalia, about how you started to quilt, you know, why you have such a passion for quilting.
Well, I've sewn as long as I can remember and loved it. Then about 5 years ago, I just got this harebrained idea to quit my job and take on quilting. So that's what I did.
You just did it, right? So, and you actually bought a long arm machine.
I just did it. Yeah. I did. I quit my job, bought a long arm, and took off.
Yeah. Just, and, you know, you do have quilters in your family, right?
Yes, my mom's a quilter, my grandma's quilters, everybody, we're just a quilting family.
Yeah, so at least you had a little bit, you knew sort of what it was when you saw that big machine.
Yeah, I did know about it. I had tried a little on my home machine, so I kind of knew what I was getting into.
Right. You know, every once in a while, I do meet somebody that's like, I don't know what that was about, but I bought one and just started. So, I know you can't even imagine, can you, when you've seen quilting, you're like, oh, wow, that's a big thing. So let's I want to talk about your book, because the fact that you are a long arm quilter, you also quilt on a home machine and wanted to gear your book towards, you know, what most people have, which is their machine they do all their work on. How did you set up your book?
The book is set up so it's step-by-step tutorials. Picture photo tutorials. I'm a really visual person, so I wanted something geared towards everybody. I know not everybody out there can buy a long arm or even wants to, but a lot of people want to do things, you know, finish, placemat, tape, or even quilts. So the book, that's what the book's kind of geared towards.
And really, a lot of people don't realize that most things people do in a long arm, they can do the same thing on their home machine.
Exactly. A lot of things are conventional things.
Right. They translate, you know, something that's like a pantogram, which is the, you know, the very evenly spaced all over. That's difficult on your home machine. But all the other things that are a little more flowing and not so structured are very doable.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one of the things that you talk about, you have this great sections of the book, but I love the section on batting where you discuss different types of batting. Can you just, you know, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on what batting contributes to the quilt?
Batting creates a lot of texture, warmth, the way your quilt's going to feel or drape. It also kind of determines how far apart you can have your stitches. And I think a lot of people don't understand exactly how important batting is. So I have a whole section that's just dedicated to batting, what it is, you know, how far apart your stitches can be, how the batting's actually made, because battings are made different ways. So just to kind of create awareness before you just jump into something and maybe you're using the wrong product or the wrong batting.
What would be a good batting for someone just starting?
For someone just starting, I would recommend the Hobbs 8020. It's a nice, thin batting, so it's not going to be a lot of bulk trying to put through your machine, and it just quilts beautifully. And it's actually pretty warm to sleep under. But I use it on my bed. It's really nice.
And it does it is it real drapeable, that one, or is it a little firmer?
It drapes really, really nicely. There are ones that will drape a little nicer, but it drapes nice.
That's good. I've had a lot of people, Natalia.
And the cost of it isn't. Yeah, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a lot of people ask me recently about the bamboo batting, and I personally haven't tried it yet. What can you tell us about the bamboo batting?
The bamboo is beautiful. It drapes beautifully. It quilts beautifully. If I had my way, I would probably use it in every single quilt, but it's always the best option, but it is a beautiful batting.
Oh, that's neat. Is it hard to find? Do you know? Because I'm sure you order it in bulk for your work, but.
Yes.
So they can probably just get it, ask their local quilt shops to get it or have it if they haven't seen it yet.
A lot of shops might have it, yeah. But you can buy it also. Just maybe look if your quilt shop doesn't. Because it is a little more specialty, online might be a better option.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the other things, Natalia, about your book that I love is, like you said, it's like a tutorial and you have loads of diagrams and actual quilting samples. You rock. This is like, what do you have? How many do you have in here?
What's that?
How many of the different like drawings of and quilting samples did you put in the book? It's like a ton.
There's to start help you creative and then go on your own.
So there's like 50 examples?
Yeah, there's over 50 in there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's wonderful. And does it sort of step you with a simpler up into advanced, or are they in more like categories of style of quilting?
It is in categories. So there's all over designs, border designs, block designs, background fillers, but they do start out very easiest first and work your way. I suggest start on something like a placemat, something like that, and start at the beginning of the book and just practice. Go through them all.
Go through them all. I want to learn feather.
Yeah, go through them all. You'll get good.
yeah, you will. Like, you definitely will. It is a hand-eye motion coordination thing, isn't it?
It is. It's totally just practice, getting your muscles, your whole body used to moving your quilt through your machine.
With feathers, I am like personally feather challenged. Usually I ask other people to quilt feathers for me because I love them. But I really like your layout where you were doing sort of, it almost looked like a pond, like you drew like a drawing of a free form sort of circle-ish pond oval, and then quilt the feathers. What are some, maybe a tip or two to help people like me do better feathers?
My tip would be, like you're saying in the book, it shows exactly how I quilt my feathers. And I start out, if there's going to be something in the center, usually a circle type shape, I'll trace a circle using a disappearing marker. I'll trace it right onto the quilt with using like a CD or a plate or a bowl or something as your template, whatever's a good size. And then there's step-by-step pictures in the book to exactly how you quilt each feather petal. So I'd say just do it exactly like the book shows. Just start down at one point and just take it one feather at a time.
one individual little like teardrop piece, and then.
Yes. Yeah. Each individual petal, just one. Yeah. Teardrop shape.
And do you do them along the outside first and then come to the inside, or does it really matter? Or is it like a personal thing? People do better one way or the other.
I would think, yeah, it's totally a personal thing. People do different directions. For my feathers, I always start at the bottom of the teardrop shape. Mm-hmm. Some people start at the top, but for me, I'm more comfortable starting at the bottom.
Okay.
So, and the same thing inside or outside, whichever you're most comfortable, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so it's not like a rule that they'll end up looking better one way or the other.
No, I don't think so. And break the rules. I'm not a rule follower, so.
I love the cover of your book. You have patterns in here as well to make quilts.
I do. Since I am a quilter, I just couldn't write a book that only had piecing. I love piecing as well. So there's 6 patterns in the book as well as quilting.
And are these patterns, I'm assuming, that show off your quilting a little bit better than you know, because some quilts, the quilting part gets hidden a bit, but you've designed quilts that show it off.
Exactly. All the patterns are designed to really show off. And if you really want your quilting to show off, I've used a lot of solid fabrics because solid, your quilting will really stand out on the solids.
Is that scary for beginners, though, solids? Will, like, every little error show?
Yes. I would say if you're beginning, you probably want to start out more using prints, things that will hide your quilting. And then when you get really comfortable, work more towards the solids and show off what you've done.
Right. Yeah, that's so I think people get a little bit nervous. And they're like, you know, but the patterns will hide it. So then all your work can't be seen. So you do have to.
Exactly.
Plan it a little bit. So you also teach, right? You travel and teach?
Yes, I love teaching. Yes, I was just in Colorado last week teaching. It was so much fun.
So what did you teach there?
I actually taught all about pre-cut fabrics, what they are, why you use them, what you can use them for. I love pre-cuts, so it was fun to go and share.
Oh, neat, neat. And did you also take a lot of your quilts with you?
Yes, I took about 20 quilts, 20 of my quilts that are made from pre-cuts. I took those along and we had a trunk show and a couple of classes.
Cool. Did everybody like really, really examine your quilting since you're well known for that?
Yes, I think so.
I know. I always love that. They're like, oh, looking at them. They ask you, what batting's in here? And I'm not very organized.
Exactly.
I don't write the batting on my label. I probably should.
I should, too. That's a great idea.
I know, because I have some that they're asking me, what's in here? And I'm like, I don't remember. I made it a while ago.
Yes.
So people, if they want to have you come and do a little workshop with them and hang out, they can go to your website?
Yes. If you go to my website, peacefund.com, there's all of my contact information is on there, and just email me and we can set something up.
This is very wonderful. Your book is with C&T, and it's a Stash book. So stashbooks.com is their website, and I just think this is fabulous, Natalia. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you, Pat.
I loved having you on the show. Everybody go and visit Natalia at peaceandquilt.com. Check out what she has there. She even has some free tutorials. We'll be back in a minute with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Thanks, Natalia.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaVoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am delighted for the second half of the show to have on Anna Marie Horner, artist and designer and just extraordinarily creative person out there that most of us are following via her quilt fabric. That's how we probably got introduced to her. But Anna Maria has a huge life of artistic living that some of this went on, you know, many years before she entered the quilt world. And I'm really excited to find out about that and how her, the new things that she's doing, because she's branching into embroidery and other areas that a lot of us are very, very interested in. So Anna Maria, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. I'm such a huge admirer of what you do in your own work, and especially this radio show, too. And I'm honored to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's really sweet. I'm glad to have you on here. You know, it's always fun to be able to talk about creative things, you know, to have.
Agreed.
Oh, I know. It's like somebody asked me once, are all your friends quilters? And I said, I think
not yet.
So. yeah, not yet. We're working on it. We've got one or two left to hit. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, were you an artist, like, you know, as soon as you could do things, were you like had the crayon box out and the paints and everything? Or did this come a bit later for you?
No, definitely from the moment I could hold any kind of implement of creativity, I was doing so. One of my favorite things to do as a little kid was sit on our kitchen floor. We had a linoleum tile floor that was kind of made to look like inlaid wood. Mm-hmm. And I used to do rubbings with crayon on top of that. And then I actually made some big quilts out of them because I would tape them together. And I just love that kind of like regular geometry that I could get by rubbing a tile and then repeating them in lots of different rubbings and taping them together. And it's funny, like all the different things that I liked to do as a kid, which were just kind of straightforward coloring, drawing, and even a little stitching, mm-hmm. I can kind of, you know, I can look back and see the roots of many different things that I do now, how I just sort of really enjoyed a certain process. Like I liked artistry, but I liked there to be an order to it, which is what mm-hmm. I think kind of sets apart quilters from artists in general. And so I think it's that kind of combination of, you know, it's pretty mathy, quilting, and so is sewing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a pretty unique combination of a creative person. It's a little bit right brain and left brain. So I fall in that type.
And you, when you got out of school, and I can't remember now whether it was out of college, right, that you just started your own business.
Started a shop? Yeah, I did. When I graduated from the University of Tennessee, I graduated with a fine art degree in drawing, actually. And I had been making clothing as a way to earn extra money throughout college. And so there was a local shop where some of these little dresses that I was making were really catching on very well. And, you know, without anyone beating my door down to offer me a job with a drawing degree, I was young enough to have the guts to try something like that, I guess. And it was right when my mom was retiring from her nursing career, and my mom is very creative and capable, and she's the one who taught me how to sew, and we just decided to venture into a business together based on my clothing work. And so I opened a shop when I graduated and sold my whole clothing line. I carried other clothing lines like Betsy Johnson. I carried lots of artwork of local artists and jewelry makers mm-hmm. and painters. And so it was a lovely little shop. And in the 3 years that I had the retail shop, it really, I look back on it and think of it like earning my MBA mm-hmm. because, you know, I loved the process of taking something from that original sketch of an idea and just the few days worth of process of gathering materials, designing and sewing and making, and then sticking a price tag on it and selling it was incredibly gratifying. You know, it's like immediate gratification in every way. The process that I do now of bringing product to market, no matter what it is of course much slower. Any clothing manufacturing process is much slower for most mm-hmm. than it is to just have the idea, make it one night, sell it the next. So that was pretty cool. What's hard is just retail. Retail is very hard. It's a full-time job. It's a more than full-time job, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I found that I suffered a little bit creatively when, you know, when I was kind of managing every single part of the shop, because I was young and of course I wanted to do everything myself, and I didn't want to invest in huge amounts of loans and all those sorts of things. So it was very hand to mouth, but just a great experience, really.
And are you excited to see sewing of clothing now really coming back via?
Oh, like my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is the first sewing I did, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with quilting in my family like so many people did, so many people that do quilting now. I grew up with sewing and with garment sewing, and my mom was your consummate 4-H seamstress, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of perfection going on in all her seam finishing, and so it was a wonderful influence to have around, but not one that I necessarily tapped into, you know. I was much more your, like, you know, take a favorite shirt apart and figure out how it's put together. So I sort of learned to sew from the manufacturing standpoint, which, as you know, is incredibly different than, you know, manufactured clothing is put together very, very differently than home sewn clothing. Mm-hmm. Even today, the processes of the two are very different. So it was pretty interesting for me developing sewing patterns for a home sewer compared to having made clothing, because it's just a different sort of process, and one that does have to follow process, and not, there are so many steps that I used to take in making clothing that would just have nothing. Mm-hmm. The most important part was just the speed with which I could sew it. But right. If you tried to illustrate the sequence of, the assembly, it would be impossible,
you know,
it's like this twist through, turn back origami stuff. So home sewing takes a whole nother sort of approach, but I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with what that does, not just for kind of rounding out the seamstress and making her feel really capable. Like when she walks into a clothing store that's expensive and she wants things, but you know, it's not reasonable to spend $150 on a blouse. You know, I love what it's doing for making, you know, seamstresses feeling empowered with what they can make. And also what it's doing for me personally, I love what it's doing for the fabric world, because there's a higher demand for various types of fabric instead of, you know, just the quilting cottons. A lot more types of fabric are coming into play, which is pretty exciting for me.
It is. And you know, we could just segue real quick over speaking of different types of fabric, because tell me a little bit about, now I may not pronounce this right, voile?
That's okay. Voile. Well, you know, a lot of people say voile in the industry.
Okay.
It's a French word. And I think it's pronounced in French the same as toile.
Okay.
T-O-I-L-E. So, you know, I learned to pronounce it in school that way, but I think both are acceptable. That's a beautiful cotton, and, you know, it's just like saying quilting cotton. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of different grades of quilting cotton. It's just another category of fabric that generally is more lightweight, sometimes somewhat sheer, but not always. And I think it's most similar to like a cotton lawn. But I think of lawn as a little bit more papery and, you know, stiff as well. So voile has this a little bit more silky hand to it. I've been very fortunate that Westminster Fibers, my manufacturing partner, has been very supportive and open to me trying out these different base cloths, right down to really sending me many available swatches of things from mills from different parts of the world until I get to choose and figure out which exact cloth I want to print on. So even the process of just finding the exact voile that I wanted to do, which all the, I was the first one that got to do it, which was fun in that category, as well as laminate and velveteen. And so it was actually a pretty long process to decide, you know, and it's just, I mean, you're guessing what you want to make based on these little seven inch square pieces of fabric. You know, you're feeling it. You feel it. You look at it through the light. I blow through it to see how open it, you know what I mean, with my breath to see how it feels, how breathable it is. And, you know, it feels a little bit nervy trying to figure out what you want to print. If you're going to do something different that people hadn't quite done too much of yet, it was a little bit tenuous, you know.
So how are people using it? I know I've heard that some are using it as backings, and they're
really
excited.
Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful in quilting. It's beautiful for patchwork, and as well as some dimensional aspects, like doing some shearing and rosettes. And it's gorgeous for backing, especially if you are a hand quilter, which I like to do most often, because the needle just sinks right through so gorgeously. And it just, it has a lot of movement. I think that kind of what's changing about quilting, if I may be so bold as to observe, is that, you know, I feel like over the past decade or so, and even more the past few years, people are making quilts that they're actually using. You know, they're sleeping under them and they're giving them as gifts to be used, and less so as gifts that are just folded and, or, you know, items that are folded and laid over the back of the couch or hung on a rod never to be used. And so I think that there's sort of a demand among consumers and quilters that they want them to feel really, really good. And there are so many, you know, things that you can do with voile, for instance, like that shearing and the rosettes and sculptural dimensional things that you could, I mean, you'd break needle after needle trying to do it with a quilting cotton, you know, so, but it's very, it's a very finely woven fabric and it's very durable. It shrinks even less than the quilting cotton does, at least among the free spirit varieties, and retains color beautifully, but it has this extra added dimension of being gorgeous for blouses and dresses and,
it seems like because of the drapeability of it. When I have gotten a few of your pieces, and when I hold it up, it just has a beautiful flow to it.
Yeah, it's very fluid. Yeah, exactly. So and I love it.
If people haven't tried it and aren't sure, like they want to do something dimensional, at American Patchwork and Quilting, our website, allpeoplequilt.com, if you put in fabric rosettes, there is a free project using your fabrics there.
Very cool.
Yeah, so people can go try that out. Now,
yes, I would encourage you to try it, anyone to try it that hasn't yet. I think that sometimes it's maybe a little bit finer needle, sometimes it's a shorter stitch length, something like that, because some people have asked, if you have a good quality machine, it's not going to treat voile any differently than it treats quilting cotton. But be patient.
And if you were to piece it, would you starch it because of it being so fine?
It's not horribly fine. I think that if you're the type of person that wants to starch your fabric when you do, say, curved piecing, then yes, I would encourage you to starch voile too. I don't think it really stretches any more than a quilting cotton does, but I do think that it's just, it is slightly more slippery.
And you also have, just before we take our break, you also have laminates and rayons in your lines, in your fabric line?
I'm just about to launch my first collection of field study rayons. It's a rayon chelisse, and talk about a gorgeous fluid fabric. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, the movement that it has. And it's weighty. It's much weightier than a voile is going to be. So I think of it as a really lovely sort of bottom weight, like a skirt weight, you know.
Oh, great.
So that's really nice. And then I have some velveteens. This is my third collection of velveteens. And those are just, you know, 100% cotton velveteens, but very luxurious, machine washable, gorgeous for little girl coats, for home decor. I've definitely included velveteen in quilts as well.
Well, what we're going to do, Anna Marie, is we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk about your embroidery and a few other things.
Thanks.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
I've got 19 and a half.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am chatting with Anna Maria Horner. So, Anna Maria, you are a artist and you are a painter, right? From
I was trained in painting and drawing in school, so that's what my degree is in.
So you paint your fabrics yourself? You do all of the artwork?
I do. I hand draw or paint all the artwork before it gets turned into a digital process. All the artwork, regardless of how it begins, it has to end up as a digital process in order to be manufactured. And I do a little bit less painting than I did early on in my fabric design process. I've been doing, I guess, now a little over 6 years. And but because that's what I was most accustomed to, and less accustomed to working on the computer and on that digital sort of sequence that has to happen afterwards, you know, that the painting is sort of tapered off a bit just because of time and just because I've learned now how far I need to take things in order to then pick them up digitally and continue. So, but definitely everything that I work on in my fabric design starts by hand, and it's real important to me as a designer. The way I like to work is to make that hand quality very evident in the finished work. I use very, very few, you know, graphic tricks for repeating shapes and forms. But even when I'm doing it digitally, I'm hand drawing digitally over the work that I've done by hand originally that's been scanned in. So, in other words, I do it the hard way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's very time consuming, but it's just, you know, I feel like it's important to me to have that kind of personal connection with my work, regardless of whether it's being mass produced or you know, paint on an actual canvas hanging on a wall. I mean, obviously, you know, when I include a dot, a polka dot, and that if I want that regular polka dot, I'm going to do that digitally. The same thing goes for a stripe. And but even those color palettes usually arise out of me messing around with some painting to begin with. So, yeah, everything is built by hand from the beginning.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful work.
Thank you.
Now, let's chat a little bit about, continue on with the handwork. You're taking that now into embroidery and needlework and what else? I mean, tell me a little bit about what you're doing there.
Absolutely. So, you know, falling in love with the process of hand quilting, I think, is sort of what rekindled my, I've never really put down embroidery my whole life. I did it as a child. I grew up visiting family in Greece where handwork was very common. I have many beautiful examples of needlepoint and crochet, like very small scale crochet, like lace work and let's see, oh my gosh, so many different things, cross stitch, so many different beautiful examples of handwork that were given to me as gifts by my family in Greece. And so I was always around that as a kid, and I always dabbled in it. And even throughout college when I was making works in my sort of elective independent study courses, I did a lot of embroidery on fabric. And I think that it was really rekindled, again, my love for that through the process of hand quilting and finding the kinds of threads that I want to use for that, which I use a pearl cotton, usually a size 8 for hand quilting, and I love all the colors it comes in. But so that sort of led me to want to be able to provide some of that product for the people that follow what I do and ask me lots of questions about where I'm getting what I get material-wise and how do I do that. And just sort of that natural progression of sharing projects led me to want to also share,
you know, the availability of these goods. So, you know, Westminster Fibers is sister companies with Coats and Clark and also Anchor Fabrics.
Right.
And, or rather, Anchor Tapestry Kits and Anchor Yarns and Floss and Threads. And so it was a really nice opportunity for me to partner with them to create palettes of embroidery floss, to create palettes of pearl cottons. And now we're following up these goods with embroidery patterns. I just launched my first two individual embroidery pattern collections. And I've had some needlepoint tapestry kits, which are the printed canvas that comes with all the tapestry wool that you need to complete the project. You know, that's never gone away, but maybe it's become less vogue because of the availability of, you know, contemporary beautiful design.
Right.
So my hope is that I'm, you know, breathing a little bit of life into some of these very traditional and beautiful traditions of needlework. And maybe inspiring some people to pick it up where they might not have thought it was too interesting just based on, you know, the looks of what they want to make, you know, if they don't necessarily relate to, you know, a mailbox with flowers growing next to it as a needlepoint, maybe they relate to something that's more like my fabrics, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Kind of trying to bring it to a new generation. And it's not, I mean, that, the whole world of it is opening up. I'm just taking a, you know, I'm just working in my own little corner of it. And handwork in general has really picked up. I think that each of the handicrafts, sewing, knitting, crochet, they've all sort of had their moment, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's happening with handwork now because I think people are convinced that the time that you do take to make things is meaningful and it's healthy to stop and slow down and work on something beautiful. And so to kind of culminate all the work that I've been doing in that regard, I have my very first Needleworks book that is publishing in just a few short weeks.
Oh, I saw that on your blog.
Yeah.
I saw that on your blog. It looks
so
fabulous. What kind of projects are you going to have in there, Anna Maria?
So the it's a pattern book first and foremost, and it's also a skill book. So the book is filled with, in the back, a few dozen different line work and grid work patterns to follow. And then also it covers four main categories of needleworks, and that is needlepoint, cross stitch, which I sort of put in the same category, not exactly, but they're both based on a grid, right? So they're both worked onto a regular weave of cloth. And then what I consider free works would be embroidery and then crewel work. So those four disciplines are taught in terms of their common materials, some favorite stitch styles, the sequence of how to make those stitches. And then what my biggest goal for this book was to help the hand worker be inspired about what to use all these beautiful hand works for. I think that it's one thing to get someone inspired to make a needlepoint. It's another thing to get someone to finish it. And then it's a whole other thing to get someone to figure out what to do with it when they're done.
I know.
Besides spending $250
on it, then you're like, what do I do with this?
Right. And so, but the thing is like we go shopping and we're attracted to gorgeous clothing that has handwork on it or a bag that has handwork on it, you know? And so why not make that for ourselves? And so through the process of teaching these beautiful traditions of handwork, I'm also trying to inspire the end uses of these products in a modern and very fashionable way. So there's lots of different applications, and I'm just really excited for people to see the book.
Oh, this is so fabulous because, you know, I started with crewel work, probably.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. Personally. And so I'm really excited to see, you know, your patterns and see things that are more contemporary or more, you know, well, I like your style. So, you know, the animal
style.
That'd be good.
Right. But, you know, they're not so out there that I think that with your own choice of colors and your own choice of finishing techniques that, you know, you can really make it your own. So, I'm super excited about it.
Now, you also jump out of handwork. You have a partnership with Janome this year.
I do.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was really pretty you know, it was a lovely coincidence that, you know, when you work in an industry for a little while and your fabrics become somewhat well-known, you know, I've been approached by a few different machine companies about working together on various levels, sometimes just, you know, projects and other times more long-term. And part of me, and I'll just be open and honest here, part of me always really resisted that a little bit. Just because I don't, you know, it's not as though you can choose one machine company and then change your mind and choose another machine company to endorse in a couple of years, you know what I mean?
Right.
And what was pretty lovely when Janome approached me was that I've been sewing on Janome for, you know, more than 15 years. They're the machines that got me through my clothing business, and I've had experience on several different machines, but I just love them. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They're a very, very good quality machine. And as a company, they don't really, you know, rest on their name. They just rest on putting out quality products and trying to stay in tune with what people want to make. And so, you know, it was just as serendipitous as that, really. And what was cool is that they really allowed me the freedom to kind of decide how we wanted to work together, within reason, I guess. And but I just, you know, I'm a worker bee. I just wanted to make stuff, you know. I didn't want to just trade blog links and do giveaways. And, I mean, that's all fun, too. But I wanted to make things, and I wanted to have people, you know, I wanted people to have a reason to, you know, visit and see what we're doing. And, and so I wanted to make some free patterns. So basically every quarter, and it's, of course, our quarters have stretched out to be more like 4 or 5 months just because the time it takes to get things done. But every so often, we are putting out a new pattern. So I'm basically making a free pattern available to whoever wants to use it, as sponsored by Janome. And so far we've put out a beautiful quilt called the Patchwork Prism, and then a gorgeous little girl's frock called the Paper Fan Dress. And so it's a free downloadable pattern. It's available on both Janome's website and on my website. On my website, I have a tab called Janome and Me. You can download the pattern PDFs with the full instructions and see photos of the projects. And you can also view kind of a highlights video of the process of making the item. So, and then in addition, I'm traveling to some dealers around the country teaching classes on these patterns as well as others. And of course, the hope for Janome is that people have an experience with their machines. And and so each project that we do, we sort of highlight the features of a different machine. And it's been pretty awesome getting to try out some different machines.
Oh, yeah. They have some amazing machines and features.
Oh, my gosh. Mind-blowing.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes I, you know, I try and stop and think about, like, okay, what, you know, what project can I develop that really highlights this, that, or the other about the machine? And it's just, then I get overwhelmed and I can't go at it that way. You know what I mean? Because there's just too much. Some of them, I told them as soon as they can get, when they can make a machine that will also press all the seams as it sews them. I want my face on it.
That's right. That's right. We're going to line up for that machine. It's going to be a long line.
I know. But I work with Allison Newman at Janome, and she's become a dear friend of mine. And I just really enjoy the work I do with them. So
cool. And then so some people, can do you have a schedule of where you're teaching during the year that's on your website?
Yeah. As soon as we develop our next plot, we put it on the website on the Janome page. We're heading in towards, believe it or not, it doesn't seem like it, but we are heading straight into holiday season and quilt market season, and things just start getting booked up. So we don't have anything on the map yet, but we will soon.
Okay.
So I think I did 4 different visits so far this year, and you know, as a mother of 6, it's a little hard to get away often.
Oh, yeah. That's big.
Well, yeah, I think I might actually be doing one at a local dealer here in Nashville soon. So that will be on the website as soon as we get it figured out.
Well, Anna Maria, this has been absolutely wonderful to chat with you. I so appreciate it.
I do too, Pat. This has been fun for me too. In fact, I you might have heard a machine whirring in the background. I have my friend Brittany helping me sew a new quilt block here today. So lots to look forward to still.
There we go. I want everybody to visit Anna Maria Horner at her website, annamariahorner.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We will be back with an all-new show next week, so don't miss it. And visit us at allpeoplequilt.com for tips and tricks and videos.
Tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.